Well, I started off my little homily a few weeks ago with that dangerous question that everyone in the congregation then looks away. Why do we come to church? Nobody likes being asked a question in the middle of a homily. It's like when everyone starts looking down at their feet, a little bit embarrassed. Nobody wants to raise their hand. Unless, of course, you're a little Celine who used to live here with her parents, Nils and Susanna, who always used to want to answer the question, whether it was rhetorical or not. We miss family. So why do we come to church? Well, I think one of the great lines in that hymn we just sang, peace, perfect peace, is a good reason to come to church. It has those other things in that hymn. There are five verses. Peace, perfect peace is the gift of Christ the Lord. Joy, perfect joy is the gift of Christ the Lord. And those two can go in hand. If we're peaceful in the world, peaceful with ourselves, we can find that joy. The reading that's read out in a lot of weddings is the first letter for the Corinthians, chapter 13. And it has those great words at the end. Faith, hope, and love are the watchwords of Christ, and the greater of these is love. I had those inscribed on the inside of my wife's wedding ring when we got married 24 years ago. Faith, hope, and love. But it's hard to get to those, faith, hope, and love, without having that peace within ourselves. So how do we find that peace? That peace, perfect peace. Well, I think the key element of it in this world and in all ways has been the line which Jesus is so good at and we're not so good at, forgiveness. Yes, there's that great commandment, love thy neighbour as thyself. That's the great commandment. And it's easy to love those people who are close to us. When you first get married, that love is in our hearts, deep within our hearts. It's that fantastic wedding day. No greater love than. As I know, 23 years later, it's not quite the same that's going on. You have that love. But then, during those 23 years, during every marriage, there's a lot of forgiveness that's gone on to keep that love. If you don't have that word of forgiveness, you don't keep that love. Loving thy neighbour, it's great to love thy neighbour or your friend when everything's going well. But the hardest commandment is to love your neighbour when it's not going well. It's hard to love yourself when it's not going well. That's the difficulty. We'll go around saying, yes, we should be one happy family. But you can't have that love that continues on and on in good times and in bad times unless you have forgiveness in your own. So that word of love is really Jesus saying what we ought to be able to do to each other and to ourselves and to our neighbours and to our work colleagues and to our families is to be able to forgive. I'm not trying to say that's an easy thing to do, but we have to find it in our hearts to find that forgiveness. In the world today, we live in a troubled world. There's so much angst going on in there. Among nations, among democracies, among people, politics, religion. And I wonder when this is actually ever going to come together and have that harmony that we all think we once had. Actually, it's always been like this. The people who have made a difference and have come back and realised that they can love one another, realise that people have more in common, they have differences, are those people who are forgiven. There's people in Northern Ireland. I grew up in London in the 70s when there were bombs going off in London, in Manchester, in Birmingham. People dying. And there were terrorists planting those bombs who really believed they had a just cause. How was that going to end? Well, the Good Friday Agreement managed to bring people who were once terrorists and people who were terrorists on the other side together. And they're the same in South Africa, where they have those horrible deaths and necklaces, where they put tyres of burning petrol around people of the same colour as them. There have been machete fights. How do those people come together? Who are at war with one another. They manage to find, looking deep in their hearts, and find forgiveness. And the Truth and Reconciliation Committee came out and said, look, if you're able to forgive, if you're able to say you did wrong, the other person is able to forgive, we can come together and we can find a way to move forward. You can only forgive someone to accept what they did, and they did it for perhaps not the reasons you'd agree with, they did it for reasons that they thought were right at the time. Accept that, reconcile that they've moved on, and you have to move on. And we can do that in our world at large, also in our own worlds. When we have neighbours we're in dispute with, work colleagues not getting along with, family members who we're not speaking to. And we can see that where they've been in their lives, we don't know what's going on, what caused them to do that thing which we're cross with, we're angry with. That one line I always remember of Dean Allen Jones, the former dean of Grace of People in San Francisco, he used to say, give compassion to everyone you meet, even if they don't think they need it. If you don't know what goes on, where the spirit meets the bone. You don't know what's going on in turmoil inside of you. It's the person who nips in front of you in the bank queue, the person who takes your place in the parking lot, the person who pushes in front of you to get on the plane, the person who you disagree with politically. Give them compassion. Give them forgiveness. And realise that if you can come together and reconcile and forgive them, you'll find that love in your heart, and you'll then have the peace which we all think we need, and we do need. It's not coming to church on our Sunday to give you that peace. It's that forgiveness. Then you will find faith, hope, and love, and joy.